Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 7. On November 21st, 1980, more than 80 people burned to death in the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas. The television cameras showed them stranded on the balconies crying out in terror. Some made their way to the roof for safety, but later the flames engulfed them even there. This catastrophe was due to incompetence on part of the firefighters. They had been well trained. They had arrived quickly. They did everything they could to rescue the perishing. The problem stemmed from the shortness of the firemen's ladders. Because of that, their hoses were unable to spray water above the 8th floor of the building. And as a result, the firefighters were tragically unable to save those on the roof. The Bible declares that God is able to save us. As we continue our sermon series this week, Grasping God's Generosity, I'm going to speak on a message that God saves us to the uttermost. We've looked at several topics that God loves us, God cares for us, but all of those messages lead us to this message. God can save you to the uttermost. You will never be lost once you are saved. Now, I know what other religions teach, and I know what some religions teach. If you get out in sin, you can lose your salvation. But the Bible declares that Christ can save you to the uttermost. Amen. That you can never fall from your salvation. Listen, the Bible declares that God is able to save us, even the worst of sinners, no matter where they are, no matter what condition they are in. He can rescue us from the dreadful outcome of our sin. Here in our text, for both Christians and non-Christians who feel discouraged about God's ability to meet their greatest need. In Hebrews chapter 7, if you'll rise with me, we'll read verses 22 through 25. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, talking about Jesus, because he continueth ever or always, hath an unchangeable priesthood, whereby for he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for them. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you, Lord, for the message you've given me today to deliver. We pray, God, that you would instill it in the hearts of those here that maybe are going through doubt, questioning their salvation. I want to bring out in this message, Lord, that you can never lose your salvation once you've given it to Christ. You are ever making intercessions for us before the very throne of God. We pray, Father, that you'll take this message, bless those that couldn't be here this morning, bless those that are. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
Today I invite you to join me as we consider three aspects of God's ability to save. I want to look first at the length of Christ's salvation. The length. You know, we talked about last week the length, the breadth, and the height of God's love. Well, it's the same with salvation. We cannot go so far to ever get away from God. David said, wherever I go, if it's the highest heaven, it's the deepest pit, you can find me. We understand that God is omniscient. God is all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He can find us anywhere we go, and he can find the lost soul anywhere they go to reach out to them to bring salvation. Speaking about Jesus, the text we just read says, he is able to save you to the uttermost. He is able to save you completely, thoroughly, and you can never lose your salvation. Christ's power is sufficient to deliver murderers, rapists, wife beaters, child molesters, and others from their enslaving habits and their judgment they deserve. He can save an Adolf Hitler, a Richard Ramirez, a Charles Manson, and he can save you and me. No one is beyond the reach of Jesus to save them from their sins. No one can get so far that God can't reach them. I'm reminded of a prodigal son that went out and left God and left and went out and wasted everything he had and was so far that he had gotten into the pig pens, eating the husk that the pig pen and the pigs left behind. And I can remember so vividly that God welcomed him back when he repented of his sins, when he said, "Father, I have sinned against God and I've sinned against heaven." And God was there as the Father welcoming that son back. He welcomes us back if we'll just repent of our sin. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Listen, my friend, Jesus can save you to the uttermost. Death was the first enemy to enter the world. By conquering it on the cross, Christ tore the roots out of sin's curse. And that curse was death. That the first parents, Adam and Eve, brought death into this world. They brought death upon the human race because of their sin. God told them before, when they were in the garden, God said, "You can never eat every fruit of every tree in the garden, but the one tree you cannot eat of is the tree of knowledge. You cannot take of the fruit of that tree, because in the day you eat of that fruit," what? "You shall die." You shall die physically, you shall die spiritually, and you shall die mentally. Listen, my friend, God warned our first parents that if they took of that fruit, they would die. And what did they do? They took of the fruit. They didn't listen to God's command. They let Satan get into their lives and betray them. And what happened? They saw the fruit as pleasure to the eyes. And they took of the fruit. And what did it cause? It caused death to come upon every man. Listen, Adam and Eve were created to live throughout eternity with God in the Garden of Eden. They brought death. God didn't bring it. Man brought death to mankind. Listen, God wanted to have a strong relationship with them, but they chose to go the other way. Each day we have liberty from sin's power because we are not under its control. And when we arrive in heaven, we will be free from sin's presence. This is complete salvation. Many people in the Bible exemplify God's complete salvation. Take Manasseh, king of Judah. He reigned 55 years, during which time he filled Jerusalem to the brim with innocent blood. He burned his children alive. He practiced witchcraft and sorcery. He built altars to pagan gods throughout the temple. To punish Manasseh, God sent the Assyrian army to capture him, sink a hook into his nose, bind him with bronze shackles, and drag him off to Babylon. The depraved king realized that the Lord was dealing with him. What did he do? He humbly prayed for God's forgiveness. This person that was well bent, Manasseh, that was well set on betraying God, well set on living a corrupt lifestyle, realized that God was dealing with him, and what did he do? He confessed his sin. Then God forgave him and restored him to his throne. Manasseh was saved from the depths of sin to the heights of grace. Mary Magdalene is another example. Seven demons made her body their home, but Jesus expelled them from her. Later, she was given the honor of being the first person to see Christ alive after his resurrection. The repentant thief on the cross is another case of Jesus saving to the uttermost. These two thieves that were hanging beside Jesus as Jesus hung on the cross for our sin, one of them said, "Save yourself." The other one said, "Forgive me, for I'm a sinner." Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." He saved him to the uttermost. Listen, my friend, throughout history, we see over and over people that were saved to the uttermost. That repentant thief on the cross is another case of Jesus' ability to save to the uttermost. Though by his own admission, he was put to death justly, even he received new life through faith in Christ. He was on his way to hell for a lifetime of sin, but Jesus gave him a home in paradise for a moment of faith. The Corinthian church was filled with former fornicators, adulterers, idolaters, homosexuals, thieves, coveters, drunkenness, revilers, swindlers, and blasphemers. But they had been washed clean and made new in Jesus Christ. This is complete salvation. In every century since then, Jesus has proven countless times his ability to save completely. Jesus can save to the uttermost. Jesus' blood is sufficient to save every human being on this planet if they'll just come to him, if they'll just give their life to him. Listen, my friend, on and on we see through the scriptures how Jesus saved people to the uttermost. Mel Trotter was such a hopeless drunkard that when his infant son became sick and his wife gave him money to buy medicine, he went out and spent it on alcohol. He was shrouded up. His baby was dead. A compassionate friend brought new red shoes for the baby to wear in his coffin. But even as he wept over the body of his own son, Trotter fell prey to temptation. He snatched the shoes off the corpse and cashed them in for a drink. He then became so drunk that he missed the funeral of his own child. Later, Christ broke through Mel Trotter's stubborn heart and converted him. He often said, "God save me from the guttermost to the uttermost." Do you realize that's the way he saved you? You were down in the pit of your sin. In other words, you were down in the guttermost of your sin, and Christ saved you to the uttermost. He saves us completely. He saves us completely in our lives, and we can never lose that salvation. He founded over 50 rescue missions for people still in the gutter, and won hundreds to faith in Christ after his salvation experience. Let me remind you, Christians, that Jesus is able to save you to the uttermost. Many believers are like ancient Israel after the deliverance from the Egyptian slavery. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years when they should have been in the promised land. Perhaps you've been freed from the penalty of sin, but that's all you trust God for. You still carry the heavy baggage of worry, of trust, of all of these things that keep you from realizing that Christ has saved you to the uttermost. When you could be rolling your burden onto the Lord and accepting the fact that Christ has saved you from all of your sin, and Christ wants you to know that he wants you to rest in the fact that you are a child of his for all eternity. Listen, my friend, the limitation, secondly, we want to look at the limitation of Christ's salvation. Let's look back at verse 25 in our text. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Coming to God implies four things, and I want to mention them. We are far removed from him. We are willing to admit we have strayed away from him. We are repenting of our sins so that he can bring us close to him. We have a heart for God and accept him as our Lord and Savior. Those four things must happen in a person's life before they can be saved. They must realize they're lost. They must realize they're without hope. They must realize they're down in their sin. They must realize that they have no hope in this life or the next. And then they must come to Christ, get on their knees, and tell God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. I know I'm beyond help. And I'm trusting in you to save me. And the third step is accepting that free gift of salvation. God offers it freely. It is a free gift from God. That grace is a free gift that God offers to everyone if they just accept it. Listen, my friend, God can save you to the uttermost. Have you confessed your sins to God? Have you turned away from them in repentance? And is there in your heart for this holy God a love for him? If so, you have drawn nearer to the Lord. But even this must be done through one acceptable channel. We must come near to the Father through Christ. The writer of Hebrews is careful to add that we can do so only through Christ. This reminds me of what Jesus said. What did he say? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes unto the Father except by me. Amen. Listen, my friend, Jesus can save you. Our sins created a vast gulf between us and God. We could never have crossed that gulf and that chasm on our own. Christ bridged that chasm. He did it with the cross. It cost him his life, but he paid that awful price regardless. Therefore, only he is able to bring us near to God, because only he was able to bring us near to the cross by his sacrifice that he offered on that awful day when he died. For that reason, faith in Christ is essential. If you think drawing near to a priest or a church will make you a Christian, you will abort God's power to save. If you try to buy your way into heaven by donating a large amount of money to Christian causes, you will never be acceptable to our Heavenly Father. You must draw near to Christ through faith in him alone. This is a profound implication for modern religious thought. It means that Buddhists, Muslims, Jews, and other religious groups who attempt to approach God apart from Christ are not going to make it into heaven. Listen, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. And once he saves you, you should be completely transformed into someone that is wanting to follow him. Listen, the story I read this morning about the queers worshiping God. You cannot be queer and be a Christian. Let me tell you something. God calls those people an abomination to him, and they also, Paul said in Romans chapter 1, it's against nature. God would never accept somebody in that lifestyle. Now, can that homosexual, can that queer person be saved? Sure they can. But they must change their lifestyle once they've been saved. Why? Because the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new.
Amen.
You will not live like you lived before once you accept Jesus. Listen, our world is going to hell in a handbasket. Think about this. When we have schools, seminaries, teaching that gay pride and lesbians can be acceptable to God, we're going off a path of righteousness. Because God will not accept that. He claims, and the Word of God does not change with the times. I know people are saying the Bible's outdated and the Bible should be changed. But let me tell you, the Word of God says the Bible never changes.
Amen.
God never changes. He never changes his opinion on sin. He never changes his thought about things he said was sin. And when God said that a man lieth with man, or a woman lieth with woman, is an abomination to him, he meant it.
Amen.
And it is still relevant today as it was when the Bible was written thousands of years ago. It has not changed.
Right.
And it's still against nature. Right. God didn't create a homosexual lifestyle. God did not make anybody gay. They chose to be gay. Now, I love gay people. I love everybody. But I tell my gay friends that they can't be acceptable to God unless they change their lifestyle. Why? Because God will not accept you being gay. Because it is an abomination to him. If he accepted that, he would accept every lost person into heaven. Listen, God cannot come close to sin. Thirdly, we want to look at the love of Christ's salvation. Look back in Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Some people live for the careers. Workaholics are willing slaves to their jobs. Others live for wealth, excelling in sports, entertainment, or something they own. Jesus, however, always lives to intercede for us. Christ once confided to Peter that he was interceding for him. Jesus said this, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But notice verse 32. But I have prayed for thee that thou fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. The night before Jesus died, Jesus told his disciples he was interceding for them. He said this, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you. As soon as his murderers had nailed him to the cross, our Lord prayed a great prayer of intercession. Jesus said this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Our Jesus is always looking for people to save. He made his home with the prostitutes, the downtrodden, the people that were outcast by the religious leaders of his day. Why did he do that? Because he wanted to save them from their sin. You remember what Jesus said? He said, the sick need no physician. It's the people that are sick in their sin. The people that are well don't need a physician. If you're religious, you don't need a physician. It's the sick. It's the sin sick. It's the people that need Jesus that need a helping hand. And now, after Christ's resurrection and ascension back into heaven, he continues to intercede for us. Listen, my friend, in conclusion, As we look at Hebrews 25, let me suggest some ways we can respond to Hebrews 7:25. First, it should strengthen our faith in Christ's ability to save. Christ can save you to the uttermost. I want you to remember that. You can never lose your salvation once you've accepted Christ. You're eternally secure. The Bible says God keeps you from falling. Jesus said, "No man is able to pluck me out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Amen. Paul said that the Holy Spirit was given as an earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of our purchased possession in heaven. Listen, my friend, you can never lose that salvation. Christ can save you to the uttermost. I brought this message for you so that you could be fully aware that Christ loves you, Christ wants to save you, and Christ can save you to the uttermost. Because there are churches and there's people out there preaching that you can be saved and lost again and saved and lost again and saved and lost again. If that were true, you know what would have to happen? Jesus would have to come back and die on the cross again every time they needed to be saved again. But Christ is at the throne of God right now making intercession for every one of us to keep us from falling from our salvation. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come and bring your word this morning. And we pray, God, that it has been presented in a way that's understandable, that would help these people realize that Christ saves us to the uttermost and that we can never lose that salvation. We praise you, we glorify you for going to the cross for us, saving us from our sins if we will only accept that free offer of salvation that you offer. God, we pray, Lord, that for anyone here, that if there is anyone that does not know you in free pardon of sin, we pray, God, that you would lead them to the foot of the cross today. And if there's anyone that may have doubt, that may have not felt secure, Father, we pray, God, that you would help them feel secure in their salvation today. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. Amen.